Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. Achieving my long-term goals is more about creating healthy habits and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love both intermittent fasting and daily harvest. Tim Spector, a gut health expert and founder of Zoe, and Dr. B, gastroenterologist and author of Fiberfueled, recommend that you aim for at least 30 unique plant foods per week. Daily Harvest helps make it easy. One of my favorite options is the sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl. With Daily Harvest, I'm getting tons of plant-based options built on organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of weird ingredients such as fillers, seed oils, and added sugars. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 141 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Erin Giles. Erin lives in Phoenix, Arizona, where she is an optometrist who works for Indian Health Services and also does telemedicine related to diabetic retinopathy. Did I say all those words right? That was a lot of words coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, good. You did great.
Good. Nice to talk to you today, Erin.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Jen. This is, like I said, you're like my Michael Jordan, so I'm happy to meet you.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting, and when was that?
Well, it's kind of a long journey how I kind of got here, so I'll just kind of start from the beginning. Back when I was really little, I was born, and I had a rare blood disease when I was about 2.5, 3 years old called ITP. And as a result of that, I had to go on like high oral steroids. And so I got to be a real chunky kid. And so I kind of got the reputation of like always snacking and the chubby, you know, child. And my parents actually had to like tie the doors shut on the cabinet. So
See, that's what's so tough because, you know, steroids increase appetite. You know, I mean, you know that obviously, but We know that. And it wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for poor little 2-year-old Aaron.
Right. And so it was cute at the time, but it kind of set up this like pattern of like, you know, snacking and being, you know, kind of having these feelings of being the chubby kid. And because I luckily kind of outgrew that, but I sort of had that pattern of place of always needing to be a snacker and a grazer. And as I grew up, I was pretty active and I did sports, and so I stayed a normal, healthy weight, but, you know, I kind of always wanted to be thinner and look at other girls and say, oh, I wish I had skinny legs like her and stuff like this. But anyway, I didn't really have a huge weight problem until I got pregnant. And so at that point, I got really ill and I was sick pretty much my entire pregnancy, nauseous, and I had bad back pain. It was just a real struggle the entire time. And I had to eat like every 2 hours or else I would get sick. So,
now, I was the same way when I was pregnant. As long as I kept food coming in all the time, I felt better. The struggle is real.
Yeah. And for somebody that always kind of had this fear around like food and needing to snack, and if I didn't, I would get sick. This was already before I was pregnant. Like, I have to eat within 2 hours of waking up or I'm going to be sick, you know? It just really reinforced that. And so I wound up gaining like 75 pounds. And so that was really rough. And I felt miserable. And I thought, like, it wasn't even food I wanted to eat. It was like, you know, Pop-Tarts and anything you could just get down, you know? And so when that was all over, I started trying to get back in shape. I had my son. And then pretty soon after that, I had a pulmonary embolus. So it was like, again, I can't exercise. And so I was just having all these health problems, and I tried to lose the weight, but after that, it was just like nothing I did. I had just an extra 20 pounds that I just couldn't really get rid of. And, you know, throughout my life, I had tried different dieting and things, but I really just stayed kind of the same weight. But now it was like these pounds really needed to go because they were unhealthy. And so I tried all different diets, but primarily what I was doing was just caloric restriction, if you really want to be honest about it. So I was doing lean cuisines, and, you know, I would bring like a giant sack of, I remember, food to work, but it was all healthy food, you know?
Right.
But I was just eating all day fruits, you know,
yep.
Lean cuisines, but it was just all counting calories. So I was like working out. I was like, why am I still not losing this weight when I'm only eating like 1100 calories a day? You know, it just didn't make any
sense. And I bet you were hungry. So hungry all the time.
Yeah. And I was tired and I was just fighting this battle. I was like, this used to work for me, and why doesn't it work now? And, you know, of course, what I didn't realize is all the hormonal issues I was up against. And so anyway, I'm starting to have like all these early signs of insulin resistance. So I kind of started Googling that, and that was probably, and I want to say probably like 2018. And so fasting was one of the things that was starting to come up a lot. And so I'm pretty sure that your podcast was one of the first ones that I saw, and I was listening to it. And unfortunately for me, I'm not the best auditory learner.
So, I get it. The struggle is real. I'm the same way.
So what I would do, I listened to your podcast, and, you know, my mom's a teacher also. So I loved how you could relate things in like not a sciencey way, but just also really approachable. And so I listened to all those stories, you know, all your intermittent fasting stories, and I read your books, and I even read Obesity Code. And it was just like a slow progression, really. Like, it was making sense, but it was just like, I can't possibly do that, right? Like, I can't even go 2 hours without.
Right. Because you were the snacker.
Yeah.
You were the one who had to eat all, you know, I get it. Yeah.
If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10.
So I was like, I want to do this, and inherently it makes sense, but I was just, how can I approach this? So what I did was I started off probably 2018 with fasting, and I did the dirty fast, the cream and the coffee. And so it did allow me over that period of, like, you know, 8 months or so that I was doing that, to really increase my window to where I could go past 9:30 and then eventually noon, where I could fast longer, because I didn't think I had the confidence to even do that. But I really wasn't seeing, like, major changes. Okay. And so I was proud of myself that I wasn't feeling, like, as controlled, you know, by food, and that I had the freedom that I didn't need to bring this giant bag of food to work every day, you know. And that in itself was big, because I really felt like I was, like, kind of in a fearful place with food. Like, it kind of controlled me in a way. Like, I had anxiety around food. Like, I might get stuck on an airplane and there won't be something to eat, or, you know, I might have to have a surgery and I'll have to go all day with fasting. Like, it really was a place of, like, it controlled, like, how I made decisions, you know, because
I get that. I really, really do. Because, you know, I've talked about this before. I used to always have food in my purse if I was going to, you know, go somewhere. And in my classroom, I would stock up. I had a snack cabinet that was also my coffee cabinet. And that whole cabinet in the back of the room was by the sink. And I had a coffee maker I would pull out. I could make a latte at any time, but which is crazy. But, I mean, you know, I was ready. But I, you know, for, you know, depending on what, quote, diet I was on, I might have had shakes up in that cabinet, and I pulled down my little blender, made a shake if I was hungry, or I might have snack crackers up there or peanuts. It just depended on how I was eating, but I was never away from food.
Yeah. And it's this antiquated dogma that kind of keeps us thinking, like, you can't go, you know, a couple hours without eating or you're going to die, you know? And
right.
And now my approach is so different, you know, like, I used to think, like, just the other day I had an apple cider Keurig thing, and I thought, I just have this just out of boredom before. And now I see it's 20 grams of sugar and, you know, 20 grams of carbs. And I just, because it was 80 calories and no fat before, I thought, that's a freebie, pretty much, you know.
Right. That's how I felt about that. I would have, you know, depending on whether I was on a diet or off a diet back, you know, way before intermittent fasting, I had a Tassimo machine. I don't know if they still make those. They probably do. But they had lattes, little cartridges that you would put in like a Keurig, but they had the milk. And if I was on a diet, I would get the skinny latte that only had, I don't know how many calories. If I wasn't, I would have the whole milk one. But yeah, it felt like a freebie.
Right. It's just hormonally what it's doing is so different than that calories in, calories out model. So now I know that. But back then, I was still kind of figuring it out. And so I think it was like probably June of 2019, I started to kind of just listen more intently to like what you were saying. And because you were saying like all the time, of course, you were saying the clean fast is important, but I was still approaching it from like, well, the cream's only like 10 calories or 15 or whatever. And I really didn't somehow get all this. And so there was a particular chapter in the Obesity Code, which I'd already read it before, so I don't know how I didn't understand it the first time. But the second time I read back through it, that's when I really got the understanding about the insulin and how important it is. And that's why, the reason why, like, someone can say to me, don't have the cream, but when I understand why, then all of a sudden I'll be more likely to do it, you know? So that's when the light bulb really clicked. And I'm not sure at what point I really stopped doing the cream and the coffee. I want to say it was probably earlier in that year. But I remember well, like that month, like June of 2019, I started seeing like these stretch marks that I had on my thighs. They were deep and dark purple. And one day I was laying out by my pool and they were just like, once I was just gone.
Wow.
And I hadn't lost any weight or anything at that point, but I thought that's really weird. So I felt on the other side to see if that they were still there. And I was like, wow. So that's when I emailed you on the Facebook page and I said, well, I haven't really had any weight loss, but this has to mean that something good is happening in my body, right? And you were like, yeah, yeah, keep going. Yeah. So then that's when I made this list and it was like all the things that I have to do to continue to be successful with fasting. And for me, it was, you know, I have to get my vitamins in line. I have to get my fasting, like I have to tighten my fasting window to like 6 hours a day or less. And I have to be consistent with it. I have to not have the, you know, do the clean fast. And I have to have more of a keto-based approach for me personally. And that's because I was pretty metabolically broken at the time, just from years and years of the snacking and dieting and yo-yo. So anyway, I made that list and, you know, within like 3 months, like 20 pounds just fell right off.
Wow. That's awesome. And before that, had you been losing or just kind of maintaining?
No, I hadn't. I mean, really, I had been committing to like the lifestyle for so long. And I kind of felt like my friends and family were like, okay, you've been doing this, like starving yourself thing and what...
Right. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, but I just knew, I mean, it made so much intuitive sense that I knew it was going to work, you know?
I get it because that little, you know, that little bit of cream just doesn't seem like it could be a lot. But really the thing that clicked with me the most is when I thought, what is cream? What is milk? It is dairy. It is nature's perfect food for building a baby. That's the period of time when we're growing the most, when we're a baby. And that's a growth food. And so, of course, it's not going to be fasting. But, you know, I was all that time, those years that I would go on and off of fasting before it became a lifestyle in 2014, I'm sure I was having those skinny lattes, calling myself fasting.
Sometimes we're just stubborn, aren't we? We just don't want to.
And I love how it's when you reread Obesity Code and then it clicked. You know, there are books that I've read multiple times. That's one of them. And you get something new out of it every mm-hmm. time. It's like you're ready to hear the message in a different way.
Yeah, it really is true. I feel like every time I listen to that, because I'll go back and listen to it once in a while, just certain chapters. And I'm like, I didn't hear that the first time, you know? It's a really great book.
So you feel better when you do more of a low carb approach. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't count my macros or keep any kind of, you know, count. But yeah, I just try to keep my meals around just, you know, meats and vegetables and things like that, lower sugar. And, you know, now I've lost anywhere between 20 to 25 pounds. And so I've kept it off. And, you know, I just, when I'm starting to feel like I'm coming up a little bit, then I'll just kind of cut back on the carbs a little bit more. I'm not super strict with it. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like they're both tools, you know, and I don't think necessarily everyone has to do keto diet, but I think that there are a lot of people that do need to do it in combination with fasting at some point to become a fat burner. I think there was a point too that I don't know if it was a podcast of Dr. Fung's or in his Obesity Code or one of his other books that he kind of spoke about this sort of summation effect. Like if you were to have a heart attack you wouldn't just pick like one thing out of the list that the doctor gave you, like, you know.
Right. True.
So you kind of have to at some point just like do all of the things. And that's kind of what sparks a change. And maybe you don't have to do that forever. It's kind of like your, you know, delay, don't deny approach. For a certain point, you might have to put alcohol down, and then, you know, you start to see the change start to happen. But if you don't do all those things, at least for a period of time, then maybe nothing changes. And that's kind of where I was at in June of 2019. You have to have an understanding of it. You have to believe it in your mind, and then you have to apply like those things. Because otherwise, if you're just trying to just exercise or, you know, just keto, I've tried all those things independently and they didn't work, but
it's synergistic.
Right. Yeah.
And just like our bodies are not, you know, an independent kind of a thing, one thing happening at a time. Everything has, you know, one thing you change changes another thing, which changes something else. And it's all happening at different levels. So, and it all works together to keep you healthy. You know, the moving your body, the choosing the foods that work well for you.
Yeah. I would say, you know, what's really interesting about it is, you know, I started the fasting like a pretty long time ago, and I didn't see, you know, the change, like some of the bigger changes. But one thing that's really cool is that I used to have the worst problems with my teeth. I've had a filling in every tooth, multiple crowns, multiple root canals. And as soon as I started like 2017 with fasting, even though I was doing it dirty fasting, I haven't had another cavity since.
That's awesome.
And that's got to be the best non-scale victory of all time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like one of those people. I was scared to go to the dentist for a long time. I don't know. I think I was traumatized by the whole braces ordeal when I was a child. The whole, I don't know, but whatever the reason, I didn't go to the dentist for a long time. Then I had to have a few crowns, and it was hot.
Oh, every time I went, it was just a nightmare. Like literally every 6 months I would go and they'd be like, oh, another cavity. And it was so anxiety producing. I mean, it's really changed my way of life. And every time I go in, even the dental hygienist is like, I've never seen anyone get better like this in their 40s.
That's awesome. That's great. I did. So I hadn't been. So I finally went a couple years ago back to the dentist, and they did have to do some work, like I said, but I haven't had any more cavities or anything since they took care of all that. What is it? Deferred maintenance, I'm going to call
it. Yeah, I'm sure you'll be good from here on out too, probably.
I hope so. I hope so. But yeah, that's no fun. Well, I'm glad that you've had that benefit. So great dental hygiene is one non-scale victory. Now, you mentioned that you had lost 20 to 25 pounds with intermittent fasting and the changing, you know, just find the foods that work well for you. Are you at your goal? Are you where you want to be?
I'm at a good weight now. You know, of course, I still like to lose another 10 pounds and kind of change just my body fat ratio. I just had a DEXA scan done last week. And so I'm like, that's something I can look at. You know, I haven't been very physically active. I kind of lost all that weight without much physical exercise. So that's kind of a goal for me going forward. But I'm at a healthy weight now. So
that'll be interesting.
I'm 6'2", so I'm really tall.
Oh, so, gosh.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm about 180 to 185, depending. So I'm good with that. So
you're very tall.
Yeah.
Well, and tall. I can't tell you, we can see each other. Listeners don't know. We can see each other, but I would never have guessed that. Because we're sitting down in chairs. And
yeah, I'm like probably a full foot taller than you. So
yeah, I'm 5'5", so almost. That's right. So when are you going to repeat the DEXA scan?
I want to give it a couple of months. I want to increase like my lifting. And then I also want to, well, knock on wood, I have my husband on board too. We're trying to stop drinking for a couple months. So trying that out.
Still, you know, I get it. It makes such a difference for me. And I know listeners have heard me the whole struggle through of realizing that, yeah, it really does make a difference for me. I just feel so much better. The other night, I'm like, what if I have a beer? How will that be? No, I didn't sleep at all.
Yeah.
Really. Are you sleeping better without the alcohol?
That's what I was just about to say. It really does improve your sleep quality, as I've found. So
it's amazing. How old are you? Do you mind me asking?
I'm 41.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. The older I've gotten, the more it's made a difference for me, but I sleep great. And so that night I was so mad. I kept waking up. I'm like, why? Because I don't want to be intoxicated. I just enjoy having, you know, a beverage here and there. And
yeah,
it was Friday and we were celebrating. I'm like, I can have a beer. Let's see. No. So your husband started along with you. How long has he been doing it?
Yes. Oh, it was funny. When we moved back out to Phoenix a couple of years ago, I was starting to try keto and he was, of course, I was doing the fasting and he wanted to do vegan. I was like, oh my gosh, this is just going to be a disaster. But anyway, he was pretty big. He's 6'2" like me and he was over 300 pounds.
Okay.
And he started about the same time, June of 2019, he really got on board with me and he's lost over 70 pounds.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely one of the best things that's happened.
Now, how is he eating? Is he eating like you or yeah. Is he vegan? Or-
Once I finally got him on board, because he was eating vegan, I was eating keto, and then my son was eating none of that. So it was like three different meals. I was like, this is not sustainable.
It's almost like you could make one meal and you each could eat part of it, right?
Yeah. I remember we attempted this vegan Thanksgiving and
I can't even imagine. Yeah. I could be vegetarian mostly, but I don't think I could be vegan.
Whatever works for you, but man,
I believe that. And I know that vegetables and those foods are healthy, but I love dairy. I love eggs and I do love meat here and there. So
as long as we can agree to cut out the processed food, I think
that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's the root of health is cutting out the processed food because that's not good for anybody, the junk food, the processed food.
Yes, agreed.
So how old is your son now?
He's 7.
Okay. And he eats all the food because yeah, he's 7.
He definitely has my snacking trait. So like he's eating all, like he does nothing but eat fruit all day. And I'm just like, oh,
that's, you know.
Why you're that's hungry all the time.
Well, that's true. That's true. Is he going to school? Are they in person or are they virtual?
He is in person right now. Yeah. He's actually online in person, which is very bizarre, but
that is weird. See, the teacher in me is like super like interested in how everyone's doing school right now.
Yeah, he's got a great teacher. So hopefully he can get back to being in person with her soon.
So they're in person, but they're doing virtual.
Yeah, it's at his school, but his teacher is teaching somewhere else remotely. I don't understand it fully.
Okay. The kids are there in person.
Yes.
Okay. Watching a teacher.
It's only, well, because I'm in medical, there's a small group of people that are allowed to do that. So
okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So
in your medical work, do you see a lot of people who need intermittent fasting in their lives? I would imagine you do.
Oh yeah. I'm so glad you asked this question because part of my job is I do telemedicine. So I just am doing diabetic retinopathy surveillance, which is just where they take pictures of people's eyes from all over the country and they send them to my location in Phoenix and we just grade how much retinopathy they have. And, you know, prior to finding all this intermittent fasting, I kind of just saw diabetes as just a chronic, progressive, irreversible condition.
Right.
And so this is why I'm so impassioned by this cause to kind of spread awareness of it is I've just seen so many people get sicker and sicker and go blind. And as you may or may not know, diabetes is the leading cause of blindness in this country in working age adults. So that's kind of my desire to spread this message that it doesn't have to be that way. You know, it truly, I've just heard on your show and countless other places that you can reverse diabetes and that just not anything that the general public believes, you know.
It's true. And even, you know, I think because the medical profession taught that and believed it and saw that, and I'm not criticizing the medical profession because people learn from each other. And the prevailing wisdom was based on what doctors saw, diabetes always progresses. It always gets worse. It never gets better. There's nothing you can do. So you see that over and over and over again, and you believe it to be true.
Yeah. And it's funny because my program is through the Joslin Diabetes Center, which is an affiliate of Harvard Medical School. And so one of the chapters at Obesity Code, Dr. Fung's actually talking about the founder of Joslin, who was Elliot Joslin. And one of his earliest interventions for fasting or for diabetes was fasting.
Oh, wow. And so
it kind of comes full circle. And it's funny, he fasted patients in the early 19th century. Or in the early 1900s, And that was the treatment for diabetes. And of course, it worked great for half the people with diabetes, and for half the people, they died because half were type 2 and half were type 1.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. So the ones that died were the type 1.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then when the invention of insulin came along, you know, that's when fasting just went away because it's much easier to inject insulin. And then, you know, that's kind of where I think there was a misstep there, because as we know, fasting had a therapeutic intervention for diabetics. So it's been there.
It's the whole misunderstanding of blood glucose, and the only thing that was, you know, the whole goal of managing diabetes, particularly, you know, type 2 diabetes, where it went so wrong, it was just getting that blood glucose down and giving more and more insulin. That was the only way to bring the blood glucose down. But the more and more insulin made more and more problems.
Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't, to my understanding, making the blood sugar go down. It was just making it look like it was better, right?
Right. It was hiding it around.
Right.
I read a great journal article that one of the moderators shared it in the Delay Don't Deny Advanced group, maybe over this like last summer, but I hadn't seen it. But it was a great journal article. I think it might have been written by a nurse. And it said, are we monitoring the wrong thing, talking about monitoring A1C levels, and instead, should you be monitoring fasted insulin levels? Because your fasted insulin level is a precursor to A1C going up. Your fasted insulin levels go up, and then your A1C starts to go up. So if you can get a handle on it early, you can reverse it. But, you know, we're not, you know, most doctors don't even think about or even understand, why would you want a fasted insulin level?
Yeah, I think they're really on the right track there. And I think they should almost do away with these, you know, random blood glucose, because you've seen with, and as I have with these continuous blood glucose monitors, how random, you know, your blood sugar can fluctuate just so much in any given day. So
it's true. And it's like the person who was really upset one day, and she's like, I just had my blood glucose checked, and it's 5 points higher than it was when I had it checked a few months ago. Why is it going the wrong way? I'm like, 5 points is just, that can vary from, you know, minute to minute. You know, really, maybe your blood glucose is worse now overall, but you can't tell just from one little piece of data. And it probably isn't, but it's just a matter of the blood glucose really does go up and down a lot during the day and the night. And while you're sleeping, it does crazy things too. I had no idea about all that. So are you talking about fasting with patients at all?
Gosh, I just did a video about this the other day. No, I'm not. I don't feel like it's not necessarily my place right now as an optometrist to, you know, if people ask me specifically what I have done, if they, you know, notice I've lost weight, I'll tell them. But I do, I mean, that is something I'm thinking about. I'm going to be retiring in a few years. And I was thinking about, you know, what does the next chapter look like for me? Is there a way I can incorporate optometry and my passion for fasting? Like, how will these two kind of merge? But right now, you know, it goes against everything that they're saying in the primary care clinic, everything they're saying in the dietary clinic. They don't even really, they don't recommend low carb in, you know, our clinic. So to diabetics. So it's very fine line to walk right now at this point.
That's got to be really frustrating. And, you know, Dr. Fung came from being a nephrologist, which is kidney, you know, and everyone he saw, or his patients, more and more of them were diabetic over time. And that would lead, of course, to the kidney issues. And you're seeing it from the optometry side. Now, as an optometrist and MD, I can never keep it straight.
No, we're not. Okay. The ophthalmologists are this.
I can never remember which is which. Okay. Optometrist, ophthalmologist. I thought, I wasn't certain about that. But I wonder if, you know, after you retire, you could find some sort of a way to bridge that, you know, between the medical community and the Native American community, who really needs the message.
Okay. It's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I know, and I feel like because of our genetic ancestry, like Native Americans would do so well at fasting, you know, because they have lived through it's in their genetics. They have lived through periods of having to, you know, go through periods of not having food. I mean, I think that the things that make them store fat or make them more obesity prone, I'm speaking because I'm also Native American, it would be things that would make them really great at fasting and have great success with it. I think, you know, I'm guessing, but that's what I think they would do really well.
Yeah. And I bet you could be a great advocate. You could, you know, team up with some clinics, some other medical people in the area, and y'all could develop a practice like Dr. Fung and his intensive dietary management group in Canada. Y'all could do something like that there.
That would be so neat. I would love that. That would be a great way to give back. But
that
it's
would
just
be
bridging that gap to where I have the right credentials and don't sound like I'm just, you know, this is what I think, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's the whole key, I think, would be teaming up with the right person, you know, a doctor who also became a true believer in intermittent fasting.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of times, even with physicians, if they don't come from a place of having personal experience or personal struggle, they really don't have any incentive to change their life or look to other, you know, sort of different ideas about diet or lifestyle. They kind of just go along with, well, it works well for me to move, you know, more and eat less. Like, why doesn't it work for you? You know?
Exactly. So. Well, that's true. And we all tend to feel that way. It's like, well, if you just do what I do, it'll work for you. You just must not be doing it.
Yeah.
You know, but there are a lot of doctors out there who have struggled. And those are the ones, you're right, the ones who have struggled themselves and realized that eat less, move more didn't help them find the magic that they kept, you know, prescribing it, and it wasn't working for their patients or for them.
Right. But yeah, it's good. I have excitement around medicine again. You know, it is, like you said, discouraging to watch people just going on this downhill trajectory. And the more people that like you that are out there and the more, you know, articles that are released, hopefully the more people that inspires change. And once they see it with their own eyes, they really can't refute it, you know?
That's true. That's true. So, you know, you mentioned that your husband is an intermittent faster now and he's done great. Do you share with other people in your life as well?
Oh, yes. I got my sister and her husband fasting and they're both doing great. And then I'm trying to get my mom on board as well.
That's awesome. I've mentioned it before, but I think my mom could benefit from fasting and so could my dad, but neither of them will do it. So,
yeah, I just sent her your book. So hopefully.
Oh, good.
She's reading it.
Good. I know my mom has read it, all my books, and my dad, I don't know if he's read it, but my mom's like, I can't. I got to eat frequently during the day. And I'm like, no, mom, you don't. And it makes me sad. My dad has, you know, some health issues that I'm pretty sure could benefit from intermittent fasting, but fingers crossed, you know, one day perhaps. So your sister and her husband, when did they start?
They started, it's getting pretty close to a year for them. And my sister used to have those spasms, like in esophageal spasms.
Oh gosh.
And she had, those were really scary. And she's not had any since she started doing that. So that's, I'm really grateful for that. So
that's
your podcast too. So shout out to Amy.
Awesome. Yay. Hello, Amy. Good. I'm glad you're not having esophageal spasms because that sounds terrible.
Yeah. It's scary.
So what are some other non-scale victories or health benefits that you've seen for yourself?
Well, of course, my biggest one's going to be my you know, my teeth, but then I do have some other pretty big ones. I've always had asthma and that's pretty much gone away.
Awesome.
Yeah. So don't take medicine for that anymore. And I used to get sick all the time, like chronic cold, sinus infections. That's pretty much gone. And they would be like weeks at a time. And just like that, you can't get rid of colds, you know. And let's see. I actually did have pretty good improvement in my blood markers. I was all of my, like my triglycerides were over 300 and now they're 75.
Wow.
So that's big. My cholesterol was pretty high as well as my HDL improved. So, you know, my LDL is still a little high, but from what I understand, that's not necessarily a concern. But yeah, my husband and his improved health has been huge, especially in this COVID era. You know,
that's
given me some, you know, sort of peace of mind. I actually wound up working in the ER night shift this year, kind of not outside of my optometry job through Indian Health Service. And so I felt really fortunate to not be as at risk for, I never wound up, knock on wood, getting COVID. And I was sitting right all night, you know, next to sick patients, you know, one after the other. So that was a real blessing, you know, to have my improved health. So just the peace of mind that provided.
I think that for me, the same thing, you know, like you mentioned that you used to get sick a lot. I used to get sick all the time and just, you know, I haven't had to go to the doctor for illness since 2015. And then I had the flu. Now, I'm not going to say that I haven't, you know, had a cold or even had the flu or that fasting will protect you from getting coronavirus, but I like to think that it does help our immune systems. You know, we know that.
It certainly does, because I think just overall the inflammation that your body is having to fight, you know, overall is down. And so these other things that might have otherwise attacked you, you have a better fight against them, you know?
Exactly. Your body has time to do those things, you know, to work on fighting off the, you know, intruders, as if you will, because it's not so busy trying to digest all those frequent meals.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's a really good point.
Yeah, I think so too. So what would you tell someone who's just starting with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I guess just patience. I know everybody says that, but you know, just because you aren't seeing a change in your weight, it doesn't mean that you're not having wonderful health benefits below the surface that you're not seeing. You know, if you have a fatty liver, or if you have stretch marks, or if you have asthma, those are all things your body might be working on under the surface. And a lot of those issues are a lot more important than, you know, what you actually weigh or how you, you know, look in your clothes. Those are the things that kind of maybe aren't as incentivizing as saying looking good in a bikini, but those are way more important over the long run. And just stick with it. You know, even like I said, when I wasn't seeing major changes, just look at my improved dental health. I mean, you know, you might chalk it up to the frequency of eating, but then when you start seeing the other changes that happen, like those stretch marks going away and the, you know, cholesterol improving and the blood sugar improving and all these other health markers that really are telltale signs, it's pretty hard to refute that there's power behind the science of the fasting.
Absolutely. And you know, what would you say to someone who's struggling with, you know, like you were, the cream in the coffee, or, you know, the butter in the coffee, or the, you know, the whatever it is that people just are holding on to? What would you say to them?
I would say, you know, really educate yourself, read the Obesity Code, read Jen's books, because a lot of times it's just a fundamental level of understanding. And then it's not like being disciplined, it's just having the knowledge, because understand it, then it makes total sense, you know, but until you do, it just kind of feels like a sacrifice.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. Right. You know, like everybody else is having something delicious in their coffee, I should get to too.
Yeah.
I told that to myself for a long time. And then I woke up and I was obese. I mean, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it feels like we're all on this upward trend as a society. We're just climbing more and more towards obesity and diabetes. And that's kind of the number one message I want to send, is it doesn't have to be that way, you know? And so, yeah, we have the power to change it.
I think that's important. Well, Erin, thank you so much for being here with me today. And I look forward to hearing one day in the future about your dream intermittent fasting clinic that you've started.
You can follow me on my page. I have a little fasting page as well, the Fasting OD on Facebook and the Fasting.OD on Instagram if you want to follow me for my journey.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
It's win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying, lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.